Arjuna has just requested Krishna to describe his opulences by which he pervades these worlds. Prabhupada explains in the purport, as we explained yesterday, that Arjuna is asking this. So common materialistic people can think of Krishna. The essence of the process of purification, the essence of all the spiritual practices that purify us, that purify anyone, is thinking of Krishna. So Arjuna is very kind, and Prabhupada says that he is a superior devotee, and superior devotees are naturally and always kind to the conditioned souls, because they know that the conditioned souls will have to suffer endlessly, literally endlessly, from time immemorial onwards, practically forever, unless they somehow think of Krishna and become purified. But unfortunately, materialistic souls, by definition, only can see matter. So what is the question of seeing Krishna, thinking about Krishna, remembering Krishna? They are materialists. There's a group of philosophers, German philosophers, in the 1850s, beginning with, I think, someone by the name of Feuerbach, who was a materialist. He was proudly a materialist, that I believe in matter, what I can see. That is the definition of a materialist. He believes only what he can see, and because he is blind, spiritually blind, all he can see is matter. When an exalted devotee sees matter, he doesn't actually see matter. He sees Ishtadeva Spurti. Stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramoti. Sarvatra hayanija Ishtadeva Spurti. When he sees something moving, he sees something non-moving, he sees just as Krishna describes it. He sees different transformations of Krishna's energy. And since the energy is non-different from the energetic, the source of the energy, when a devotee sees anything, he sees Krishna. This is actually a devotee. He doesn't see anything but Krishna, because his eyes are prem anjana. His eyes are coated with prem, bhakti vilochanena. His eyes are coated with affection, deep, deep affection for Krishna. When the gopis were in Uddhava Kyari, when Uddhava came to see them, Krishna sent Uddhava to see the gopis. And he went there and he came with a message from Krishna. And the message stated, and the gopis were almost withered and dried up due to their separation from Krishna. And when the gopis heard the message from Krishna, from Uddhava, they heard that Krishna's advice was, although I am not with you, if you think of me, you will find out that the thoughts of me are no different from me. So think of me. So the gopis, when hearing this, they began thinking, what kind of advice is this? We're suffering so much from separation from Krishna. 24 hours a day we're thinking about Krishna, and Krishna is giving us this third class advice that we should think about him. Our problem isn't that we're not thinking about Krishna. Our problem is we can't stop thinking about Krishna. This is Premanjana Jurita Bhakti Kalochana. This is love. This is love of Krishna. It's been a long time. It's good to see you. So for the exalted devotees, actually these type of instructions don't have to be given. How you can see Krishna when you look at the water, when you look at the mountain, when you look at the sky, instead of seeing things separate from Krishna, Maya is not. Krishna spent so much time in the 7th chapter and in the 9th chapter explaining how nothing is separate from Him. So, here we're going to hear again how we can see Krishna, but the exalted devotees, they have deeply assimilated this truth. And because of their love for Krishna and their understanding of who Krishna is, they see Him everywhere. They love Him. They see nothing but Krishna. Like Raghunath Das Goswami. By the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Panihati, Raghunath Das Goswami achieved the mercy of Lord Nityananda, and by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, he achieved shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He went to Jagannath. Always remember Krishna and thus become purified. Yamam smarati nityasa sasyaham sulabharpata nityatasya yoga. This is the process of easily obtaining Krishna by always remembering Him. And the process, the best process, as Prabhupada has explained, actually, of always meditating and remembering Him, is chanting Hare Krishna. If we chant, this is even better than smaranam. Smaranam, or remembering, is difficult to obtain. But chanting, by chanting, the remembrance will automatically come. So, remembering Krishna, always chanting Hare Krishna, learning to see the material world as none different from Krishna, is what we are learning, and in this way we will take our steps to the service of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath and Radha and Krishna. So Arjuna is asking, how can I constantly think of You? Let me know of Your opulence by which You pervade this material world. So Krishna in 19 says, yes, I will tell you of My splendorous manifestations, but only of those which are prominent, O Arjuna, for My opulence is limitless. So no one can explain in full something that is limitless, because it would take eternity to explain limitless, something that is limitless, because you could never get to the end, because it has no end. So Krishna's opulences are limitless. So those which we commonly see right before our eyes regularly, Krishna is going to explain those prominent opulences. So that we know that if anything is great, if we see something is great in this world, we should not think it is great, but we should think Krishna is great, because He is the source of the greatness. And in that way, we will remember Krishna constantly, and that way become purified and make advancement in Krishna consciousness. So first of all, in text 20, Krishna will describe His spiritual energy. I am the Super Soul, O Arjuna, seated in the hearts of all living entities. I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. So Krishna is the Paramatma. He will say this again in the 15th chapter, in the 18th chapter. He's already hinted at it in so many places, that He is within everyone's heart. Shastita, I'm situated within everyone's heart. Krishna also says that He is the beginning, the middle, and end of Bhutanam, of all conscious beings. Here it just says of all beings, but we should understand from this that it means, that Krishna means of all conscious beings. The reason why we should understand that will be explained later. A baby being born, and that is the beginning. We see a new sprout coming up of a tamal tree, and that is the beginning of its life. And then we see a strong young man, and then we will see an old man. And we should remember Krishna, because these things, this aging process, everything is under Krishna's control. So He is the beginning. He is the cause of the beginning and the end and the middle of all living beings. Someone is strong in the prime of his youth, he's being maintained by Krishna. If Krishna pulls out the plug of his maintenance, there will be no youth, there will be no strength. There will be no old age without Krishna. That old age is Krishna's mercy. It is Krishna's warning that soon you will have to take another body, and you should prepare, at least in your old age. Don't think you have any other business except focusing your mind on God, on Krishna. So when we go out, when we look outside, or we just open our eyes and see anyone or anything that is living, we will see it, that living creature, either in its beginning, middle, or ending stage, or some slight variation. So we should remember Krishna who set up the system. Next, in text 21, different controllers, and Krishna is the essence of many groups. Of the Adityas, I am Vishnu. Of lights, I am the radiant sun. Of the Marats are the controllers of the wind, I am Maraji. And amongst the stars, Nakshatra, okay, Nakshatranam Maham Shashi. Amongst the stars, I am the moon. Of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. Of the demigods, I am Indra, the king of heaven. Of the senses, I am the mind. And in living beings, I am the living force, consciousness. I am that self-awareness that we have that is coming simply by Krishna's arrangement and Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, there is no consciousness. Practically speaking, when the Mayavadis, not the Mayavadis, but the Brahmavadis, they think they are getting Krishna's mercy when they merge in with Brahman, but actually they are losing their consciousness. They're losing their individual consciousness, and they are not actually getting Krishna's mercy. They are getting Krishna's curse, practically speaking. But Krishna gives consciousness, and in the case of the Mayavadis or the Brahmavadis, he will even take it away, so they have no consciousness of their individuality. Yes. 23. Of all the Rudras, I am Lord Shiva. Of the Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am the Lord of Wealth, Kuvera. Of the Vasus, I am Fire, Agni. And of Mountains, I am Meru. This Prabhupada has comments lightly on most of these. Of priests, O Arjuna, know me to be the chief, Brihaspati. Of generals, I am Kartikeya, that is Skanda. He's called Skanda, Aham Skanda, Sinaninam, Aham Skanda, who is the son of Lord Shiva and Parvati. And of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Why am I the ocean? Why is Krishna the ocean? Because the ocean is so vast and so great that practically no one can calculate how great and vast the ocean is. So similarly, no one can calculate how great and vast Krishna is. I've told you how Prabhupada was walking by the Pacific Ocean and he asked the devotees, why is it peaceful? He said, because it is deep. It is so deep and so vast. It is great. We often tell the story of Professor Frog, Dr. Frog, PhD, sitting in his little well of convoluted, tiny consciousness. And some other frog who's seen the world comes in and said, I've seen the ocean. And it is great. It is vast. It is huge. And Dr. Frog, PhD, with his little brain, tries to understand how big that ocean is. Oh, it is huge? Do you mean it is 2 times as big as my well? No, it's much bigger. You mean it's 3 times as big as my well? No, no, no. It is much bigger. You mean it is 6 times as big as my well? No. You can't understand how big it is. It is huge. It is vast. You mean it is 10 times as big as my well? And each time it's puffing up and you see these bullfrogs. You don't see them in Vrindavan, I think. But these frogs, they have the ability to puff themselves up. And he puffed himself up so big, trying to understand how big. You mean it's 20 times as big as my well? And he puffed him up so as big as he could. You mean it is 30? And then finally, pop. sleep. So no one can understand how vast the ocean is living next in a little well. So similarly, we should, when we see the ocean, we should understand its vastness. And similarly, we can't think, oh, you mean Krishna is two times as more powerful as I am? No, you don't understand. He's God. You mean he's four times as powerful as I am? No, you don't understand. He's so powerful, unlimitedly. You mean he's six times as powerful as I am? Of the great sages, I am Bhrigu. Of vibrations, I am the transcendental Om. Om has been mentioned quite a few times. This is a sound vibration that represents Krishna or Radha and Krishna. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy names, Japa. And of immovable things, I am the Himalayas. Who has seen the Himalayas? Raise your hands. Who has seen? You have seen? Nandi, you have seen? You can move? You can move them? What?
Slowly.
How big? Is it two times as big as the Gurukula building? Is it two times as big as the Gurukula building?
No.
Bigger?
Yeah.
You mean it's three times as big as the Gurukula building?
Lots bigger.
You mean it's five times as big as the... You mean it's... Is it really, really, really big?
Yeah, totally.
You mean 10 times as big as the Gurukula building?
Much bigger.
Pop. I cannot conceive. Of sacrifices, I am the most simple of all sacrifices, chanting japa. And we know that japa is a great sacrifice. To sit and quietly chant the holy name, it is not easy. As Balabhadra Prabhu was speaking this morning, he was explaining how what the mind does in japa. It will think about everything. But this is our sacrifice. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchana maskiram. The mind is always going from one place to another. So from wherever it wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, tatas niyam netat atmani eva vasham nayat. One must capture it and bring it back under the control of the self. So when we start chanting our japa in the morning, we should do it as a sacrifice, as an offering to please Krishna. We should pray to Krishna for the strength. We should pray to Gaunatai for the strength. Anandityananda can detach us from all the material wanderings. But we in our mind, we have to become convinced that we don't want to just let the mind manaratena sitola davatola just wander and wander all over the universe. We have to become determined to perform this sacrifice properly. The inattentiveness is the root of all the offenses, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains. So we have to decide that we're going to chant, and we should pray very, very deeply and lament that we have so much problems chanting properly, concentrating for long periods of time. And by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and by the mercy of the Goswamis and the Acharyas, and Nityananda Prabhu, and Mahaprabhu, Advaita Prabhu. Advaita Prabhu is so merciful. We can pray to Sri Advaita Sitapati, that he is so kind. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami says, I offer thousands and thousands and thousands of obeisances to Sri Advaita Acharya. He is so merciful that he called Mahaprabhu to come to this world to benefit the living entities. So he has come. On the request of Advaita, he is submissive to the request of Advaita. So if Advaita Charja gives us his mercy, then we will be able to perform this sacrifice of Harinam properly. We pray, we say Jai Sachinandana because we are referring to Mahaprabhu as Sachinandana, because he is the son, the dear son of Mother Sachi. And Mother Sachi is such a soft-hearted Prabhupada, even said, he said to one devotee once, you should have the courage of an Englishman. and the heart of a Bengali mother. Bengali mothers have soft hearts?
Yes.
They are very attached to their children, like Mother Sachi. So Mother Sachi, on the request of Mother Sachi, Mahaprabhu even spent time, all his time in Jagannath Puri, basically. He was submissive to Mother Sachi. He said, this body is yours. So if we pray, Mother Sachi, you are Sachi Nandana, he is Sachi Nandana, Mahaprabhu is, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sachi Nandana. So you, please, you are so soft. You are so soft-hearted, and I am so hard-hearted. You are so exalted, and I am so fallen. I am the biggest of offenders. So you please be merciful to me. And then if Sachi Mata is merciful, then Sachi Nandana will be so merciful. And then our sacrifice of japa can be successful. On our own, we cannot do anything. And then, if we, by the mercy of these exalted personalities, chant properly, then we should not think, oh, just see how I am chanting. And look at this one. He cannot chant like me. But anything we do, we're learning here that anything, Krishna is the ability in man, it is just by His mercy that we can accomplish anything. He is the life force, He's the consciousness. So we should never become proud. Next, 26. Of all trees, I am the banyan tree, or the aswat tree. That is also people tree. And of the sages, amongst the demigods, I am Narad. Of the Gandharvas, I am Chitrarat. And amongst perfect beings, I am the sage Kapila. So Nara means God, and Da means giver. So Narada is the giver of God. There's so many living entities. He's written so many glorious books. Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Pancharatra. Now, Chitrarata, when Arjuna heard Chitrarata's name, he was very happy because Chitrarata was Arjuna's friend and he had taught Arjuna the art of singing. So he was very happy to hear this one. Of horses, know me to be Uchai Srav, produced from the churning of the ocean of nectar. Of lordly the ocean for nectar. Of lordly elephants, I am Airavat. And amongst men, I am the monarch. Of weapons, I am the thunderbolt. Thunderbolt is very heavy. Amongst cows, I am the Sarabi. Of causes for procreation, I am Kandapa, the god of love. And of serpents, this is Sarp, not Nag. A sarp or a serpent has only one hood, and a nag has many hoods. So of one-headed serpents, I am Vasuki. Of the many-hooded nagas, I am Ananta, and amongst the aquatics, I am the demigod Varuna. Of departed ancestors, I am Aryam, and amongst the dispensers of law, of justice, I am Yam, the Lord of Death. And as we often say, that we may not want to accept Krishna in our life and offer Him affectionate words or leaf, fruit, flower, water. But if we don't want to accept Him in our life, that is our free will. But if we don't want to accept Him at death in the form of Yamaraj, it is too bad. We must accept Him anyway when He comes as death. So either in life, willingly, or by force in death, we have to acknowledge the supremacy of the Supreme Lord and our dependence upon Him and our subordination to Him. Amongst the daitya demons, I am the devoted Prahlad. Amongst subduers, I am time. There is nothing that stands the test of time. Everything is subdued by time. Time is all powerful. Krishna, in the next chapter, will actually show his Kala Rup to Arjuna, and we will see how fearsome and subduing this Kala or time is. Amongst beasts, I am the lion. A few years ago, I took my son to the zoo and we saw a lion in a cage. And the cage was very strong, the bars were very strong. But this lion has so much Shakti in it. And he roared, and it's Shakti. He actually possesses like a mystical power. You have seen? Nandu, you have seen? You have wrestled with lions? No. But they are terrifying. Even behind the bars, it is terrifying because they possess such shakti of power. And it is Krishna who has placed that shakti of power in the lion. Have any of you had that experience? How? Just how the raw power that they possess. Amongst birds, I am Garuda. Of purifiers, I am the wind. The wind is very fast moving and it has very powerful sons. Who are the two famous powerful sons? And? Hanuman, yes. Very good. Of wielders of weapons, I am. Now, which Ram is this?
The Bow Ram.
The Bow Ram? No, it is the Axe Ram. It is Parsaram. Because this is not explaining incarnations, this list, it is explaining the bhutis or opulences. So, the opulence of Krishna's fighting Shakti was placed in Parsaram, a Shaktavish avatar. A fish. I am the shark, and of flowing rivers, I am the Ganges. Of all creations, I am the beginning and the end, and also the middle. Now, previously in text 20, it said, Krishna said that I am the beginning, the middle, and the end of all beings. So in that verse, in text 20, beings means living beings, sentient, conscious beings. And here, it is all creations. Things that are not conscious, not sentient. Because living beings go through their cycle of birth, death, old age, and disease. And every creation, from grass mats to tables to pillows, or other insentient, non-sentient walls, they are created, they stay for some time, and they fall apart. So Krishna is also causing that through that time factor that he was saying. That through time, Krishna controls everything. O Arjuna, of all sciences, I am the spiritual science of the self. And amongst logicians, I am the conclusive truth. So, vada pravatam aham. There are different, when one is having an argument, there are different elements of that argument. There's jalpa vatanda vada. Prabhupada explains this in the purport to some degree. When you're just arguing to defeat the opponent, that is called vitanda. But arguing to get to the actual, or discussing to get to the actual conclusion is called vada. So this, when you're arguing or discussing or using logic to actually find the actual correct truth, the actual truth, that is Krishna. Krishna empowers that. Of letters, I am the letter A. Because no word in Sanskrit can be pronounced without this vowel, A. Amongst compound words, I am the dual compound, Dvandva Samas. You want to say something about Dvandva Samas?
I wouldn't say
that yet. Huh? No. Not studied like that. But it's called Ramkrishna Samas, you know?
You studied
this week. There's a compound word, and when both parts of the compound are equally emphasized, it is called, in Harinam Vyakarana by Srila Jiva Goswami, it is called Ram Krishna Samas. You know? You learned this yet? So that is, that Krishna is that. I am also inexhaustible time, and of creators, I am Brahma. Actually, Krishna empowers Brahma with his own intelligence for creation. I am all devouring death, and I am the generating principle of all that is yet to be. Amongst women, I am fame, fortune, five, speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience. Actually, this isn't the qualities of women that's being discussed, but it's of all feminine qualities. Different qualities in Sanskrit have different genders, either male or female or probably neutral. So, these are feminine qualities. Prabhupada explains this in the purport. The seven opulences listed, fame, fortune, fine speech, memory, intelligence, steadfastness, and patience are considered feminine. If a person possesses all of them, or some of them, he becomes glorious. If a man is famous as a righteous man, that makes him glorious. Sanskrit is a perfect language, and therefore very glorious. If after studying one can remember a subject matter, he is gifted with a good memory or smriti, and the ability to not only read many books on different subjects, but to understand them and apply them when necessary, is intelligence, medha, and other opulence. The ability to overcome unsteadiness is called firmness or steadfastness, dhriti. And when one is fully qualified, yet is humble and gentle, and when one is able to keep his balance both in sorrow and in the ecstasy of joy, he is the opulence called patience, chama. Of the hymns of the Samaveda, I am the Brihat Sama. Krishna has already said, of the Vedas, I am the Samaveda. And here he is saying, of the Samaveda hymns, I am the Brihat Sama. And of poetry, I am the Gayatri. Of months, I am Madhashirsh, November, December. And of seasons, I am flower-bearing spring. I am also the gambling of cheats. And of the splendid, I am the splendor. I am, when you see something splendid, Krishna says, I am that thing, that essence that makes it splendid. I am victory. I am adventure. I am the strength of the strong. Once, in regard to of gambling, I am cheats. Krishna is saying that he is the greatest cheater of all. So once we were in Hong Kong, and there was a press conference in the Hong Kong Hilton, and Prabhupada, one reporter was asking Prabhupada about this Guru Maharaji, who we don't hear of anymore, but in the 1970s he was a Bala Krishna Yogeshwar was his name, and he was claiming to be God. He was looked something like a boy, but he wasn't really a boy, but he was some kind of a yogi. So he was claiming to be God, and his followers had a group in Hong Kong. So the reporters were trying to get some controversy out of Prabhupada, something for an article. So they kept asking him, what about this Guru Maharaji? What about this Guru Maharaji? What about Guru Maharaji? And Prabhupada said, we don't have, you ask me about Krishna consciousness, I'll answer. Don't ask me about these other people. And a few times Prabhupada answered like that, but the reporter kept on pressing. So Prabhupada finally said, this Guru Maharaj, you want to hear something about Guru Maharaj? This Guru Maharaj is a big cheat, that is all. He's a dog, Prabhupada said. But, he said, Prabhupada said, Krishna is the greatest of cheats, and he will cheat him. Then, within 2 months after that, and actually that it got written up in the Hong Kong papers because the reporters got, you know, they loved that kind of stuff with one spiritualist criticizing another spiritualist like that. So it got written up in the Hong Kong paper, then the next day, and then actually Newsweek or Time magazine liked it so much, and it went into Time magazine actually. And and within 2 months, this Guru Maharaji, he married his beautiful secretary, who was a Western girl, and his disciple, so he married her. And then his mother came, and she saw how he was living, and she was saying that he was God before, and he also had an older brother. So after, and the older brother, of course, was Balaram. He was Krishna. So after she saw him, she started criticizing him to the newspapers, and she started saying, he's no longer God. Now his older brother is God. And after that, immediately his whole empire, which was quite big at that time, was destroyed. So he was cheated. Actually, he was a big cheat, but Krishna was the biggest cheat. One time a devotee about, I am the strength of the strong. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, compared to my God brothers, I feel so weak. And Prabhupada said, compared to Krishna, everyone is weak. So Krishna is, when someone is strong, it's because Krishna has made him strong. Of the descendants of Vrishni, I am Vasudeva. And of the Pandavas, I am Arjuna. Arjuna was wondering, When he comes to the Pandavas, who is he going to say he represents? Probably Yudhisthira. But Krishna said, no, I am Arjuna. Of the sages, I am Vyas. And among the kavis, or great thinkers, I am Ushana, or Supracharja, the priest of the demons, the asuras. Among all means of suppressing lawlessness, I am punishment. This is there's liberal theory in some parts of the world. When someone is breaking the law, it is due to his bad upbringing, unfortunate upbringing. So, to cure him of the habit, they become nice to them. When someone breaks the law, they become nice to them. But we should know here that this does not work. To suppress lawlessness, one has to punish. And of those who seek victory, I am Niti, or morality. Niti is the behavior. It is something like diplomacy, or politics, or morality. But it is the proper way of behaving in such a way that victory is achieved and maintained. It is stable. That is called Niti. Niti Rasmi Jagat Satam. Furthermore, Arjuna, now Krishna is beginning to sum up, I am the generating seed of all existences. That means, if something is the seed of all existence, that means that he is the cause of everything. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that it can exist without me. So, Krishna here is summing up and explaining in one sutra, in one verse, how one can see him everywhere. Just like aham savasya bhavavo mattak savam bhavakati. Everything emanates from me, everything comes from me. Here also, I am the generating seed of all existence. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. So everything, moving, non-moving, is completely dependent on Krishna for its existence as the Super Soul. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. Krishna has said this, that my opulence is limitless. He said this earlier. What I have spoken to you is a mere indication of my infinite opulences. And then an important, famous verse. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam eva va. That means that all, vibhuti mat means opulence, sattvam existence, srimad beauty, urjitam means glories or strength. So whatever opulences you see in existence, whenever you see someone with some opulence, whenever you see someone with beauty, whatever you see someone with, who is glorious or has great strength, you should certainly understand that all this, mama tejo, this power, their strength, this power, this shakti, this splendor that they have, is amsa sambhava. It is born of just a part of me, my amsa, mama tejo, amsa sambhava. It is just born from just a tiny spark of my splendor, because here, Arjuna, remember, is just describing, or Krishna is describing, how Krishna's opulences are manifest in the material world. He's not at all describing how they're manifest in the spiritual world. So just an ansa from the Super Soul, everything is coming. And then, the last verse in this chapter, for what need is there, O Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So this is practically the same as the previous verses. So, ekam sena stito jagat vishtavyaham idam krishnam ekam sena stito jagat. That was just, vishtavyaham means I pervade idam this krishnam entire jagat universe. Just by one, eka, one, ansena, one part. All it is situated, stitam, situated just on one part of my opulence. One little part, ekam sena, stito jagat. Just one part Mama Tejo Amsa Sambhava. Just one little part. Krishna's doing this whole material world, maintaining it, providing opulence, creating, destroying, beginning, middle, and end, not in a way that causes effort. He's just doing an insignificant part of his opulence. So we should know that whatever that is seen, that is extraordinary, opulent, beautiful, strong, is existing by the support of Krishna's potency. This is how we can see Krishna everywhere. We'll end with the last part of the purport, just in the middle of page 552. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna, and he can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. Okay, that is chapter 10. So this was simple and fun.
In this 41,
yeah.
Krishna says, "Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor." And he refers it in this book as Amsha. Is he referring to the super soul as being a spark, or to the manifestations from the super soul being a spark?
The super soul is a part. That's again, Ekam Sena. This refers to the super soul. Am Sena means super soul. In 42, it's Amsena, a part, and Angsa, a part. Same. 42 and 41 are basically the same.
So the Angsa is just...
Yeah, that's what Prabhupada just explained. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul. So sometimes we can call, Ete Chamsa Kalo Pungsang Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. So Krishna, all these different expansions and expansions of expansions, they're ansas and kalas. So here,
This chapter, as well as the other chapters that are from chapter 7 on that are describing pure devotional service, there seems to be just a few verses which actually describe pure devotional service.
But they all describe Krishna's opulence, and they don't recommend anything but pure devotional service.
Really?
In 8, there's others. But it explains everything in relationship to pure devotional service. The reference point is pure devotional service. Even in 8, where the path of Yoga Mishra Bhakti is described, at the end it says the devotees don't pay any attention to passing in light or in darkness. They just focus themselves in devotional service. But
so
Krishna, yeah.
The volume of it is indicating pure devotional service.
But just look at the end of 9 and how he describes even 7. Yeah, it's basically pure devotional service. It is described and it's emphasized. Yeah.
Among the greatest sages, he has been four names: Bhigu, Vishnu, Shukracharya, then Narada, and then another. Who is really the greatest name?
Who? What's the last one you said?
Bhigu, Vishnu, Shukracharya, and then Narada, and then another name. Four names.
Kapila.
Kapila is, of course, Krishna.
Kapila is Krishna, sir.
Which first one is that one?
There are three more names.
And Narad, he's Devarishi.
Devarishi, Narad.
Let's see which one it is.
The sage is Vyasa, he says.
Which verse is that?
637, he says that same.
No. Yeah. With Narad. 26, is it?
Yeah. Narad.
Oh. Of the demigods, I am Narad, right? So he is Devarishi of the demigods.
And then,
okay, among perfected beings, I am the sage Kapila. Now, amongst kavis, I am Usana. But he's talking about kavis. Sages, is, he says, Kapila, where is Bhrigu's name?
Which verse? Bhrigu's 25.
Huh?
25 is
of great sages. So what is it? It's Maharshi, Maharishi. He is great Brahmin sage. I will tell you tomorrow.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
In one travel Prabhupada, he describes the three ways of traveling in space. One is by the spaceship.
And one is by pigeons.
Yeah.
You have to be, and others are flying carpet. And you're just trying to think you can save your airfare if you... Yeah, what's the question?
If you could elaborate on that, or if Prabhupada says something about it, because it seems completely incredible.
One has to be very qualified to travel in these ways.
But is it to be taken literally that you actually grapple?